The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. You know, it's really amazing that you can look at the calling of God and how those who choose to obey the Lord go down a very dramatically different path than they may have imagined for themselves. Imagine, for example, if Abraham had never followed God. He didn't choose to leave his family, leave his father's household, leave his home and everything he knew, and go to some unknown place that the Lord was showing him. Right? If Abraham had never done that, the world would look very different. And this is what it's like for those who choose to obey God versus those who choose not to obey God. You see, not only does your own life look very different, but the truth is that the ripples it creates across generations are something you can't even measure. Because nowadays, we're all adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. And that word that God said, your children are going to be as numerous as the stars, right? Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. They're going to be like sand on the seashore. You're not even going to be able to count them, okay? And Abraham, all he really wanted, he just wanted a son, right? He just wanted this small little thing. He wanted a son. And God said, you know what? You're going to have that and much, much, much more. And that's truly what it's like when God calls somebody. He calls you to something that's so much greater than you would have imagined for yourself, but it's also something you can't really do on your own, right? So Abraham, him and his wife, they couldn't have kids on their own. But God brought forth the impossible, and through Abraham, he blessed all the nations. So, we have to bring this now to our own lives, which is that there's a version of you that obeys God completely, and you create ripple effects that affect future generations. You impact the world for the glory of God and for his kingdom in a way that you can't even measure. Okay, that's you who obeys God, and then there's you who doesn't obey God. So if Abraham decided to stay in his homeland, well, God would have had to find somebody else, and we would not be hearing about him. You see, many people actually don't know this, but Abraham's father, Terah, he had actually intended to set out for the land of Canaan. It says in Genesis chapter 11, and this is the chapter before God calls Abram. It says that Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. That's where Abraham went. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So why was it that Terah decided, you know what, I'm going to leave where I am, and I'm going to go to this land, Canaan. I'm going to go towards Canaan. Why would he have done that? Could it have been that God had also impressed upon his heart, hey, go to a land that I'm going to show you. Go to this place that I will show you. Follow me. Obey me. But then when he came to Haran, he's like, you know what? This is good enough. I like this, right? And he settled there. And you know what? These small verses, this is all we hear of Terah. He did not complete his journey. And so because of that, God had to go to the next generation. He called Abram and he said, hey, leave your father's household, leave your family behind, and go to a land I will show you. And so it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, let me tell you this, so it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you can still be used by God today. Abram, he was still 75 years old. And you know, he was 90 something by the time he had his son Isaac. Okay? So it's not too late for you to be used mightily by God. You only need to decide, I'm going to obey the Lord today. I'm going to hear from God, and I'm going to obey the Lord. Once you make that decision, God can start to use you, okay? So Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. There, they completed the journey that God intended for him to go on. This is the most important difference between those who will be used mightily by God and those who will fall to the wayside, like Terah. And it's simply those who hear the voice of the Lord and they obey him completely, right? They're not going to settle. They're not going to say, well, I just want this. This is all I want. No, they're going to obey him completely. You see, if Terah had completed his journey, maybe he would have been the father of many nations. Maybe we would be reading about him in Genesis and think about how the timelines would have diverged so differently because of the obedience of Terah. We will never know because Abram is the one who obeyed God, and Abram was the one who was blessed as a result. Now, that's something that's so amazing because understand this. That means that there's no man-made institution, there's no credentials, there's no qualifiers that men can establish that make the difference between those who will be used mightily by God, who will change the course of history, and those who will fall to the wayside. The only differentiator that separates those two people are the people who hear from God and obey, and the people who hear from God and don't. Okay? And it's not just to hear the word. It's not just enough to talk about it. You have to actually do it. As it says in James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The kingdom of God doesn't need people who talk a big talk. It doesn't need people, oh yeah, hallelujah, that's so great, and then they go off and do their own thing. No, the kingdom of God needs people who are active in their faith and in their obedience. Because those are the people that are going to change the world. Amen. So what I want us to study today now is we're going to be reading about Jeroboam. Because did you know, now the scripture tells us Jeroboam was one of those really wicked kings. But Jeroboam, you know, was anointed and appointed by God. And we see this in 1 Kings chapter 11, because at the time, Solomon, with his many wives, he started worshiping idols. He forsook the Lord and turned away from him. Okay? And God wasn't pleased with that. So he was raising up another man that was going to rule over Israel. And what happened is that Jeroboam was one of the men who worked under Solomon, and he was a good worker. Okay? So what happens is that in 1 Kings chapter 11, starting with verse 29, it says, about that time, Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, the prophet of Shiloh, met him on the way wearing a new cloak. The two of them were alone in the country, and Ahijah took off the new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Now, I find this to be so funny because understand, a prophet is somebody who's called by the Lord and he goes where the Lord sends him and he says the things that the Lord tells him to say. Okay? That means that God told Ahijah, the prophet, hey, you're going to buy a brand new cloak. You're going to meet this guy, Jeroboam, and you're going to rip it into 12 pieces. Okay? It's like, go out there, go buy your new jacket, whatever it is. I don't care how expensive it is. You're going to go there and you're going to rip into pieces. That's just such a funny kind of idea that you have when you realize that. But you know what? Ahijah didn't mind. It's like, okay, you want me to buy this cloak and rip it? I'll do it. Okay? And some of you might be thinking, oh, it's such a waste of money. You know, this is so much. Okay, you know what? Fine. I'm going to rip the cloak. I'll just go to Walmart and I'll get a really cheap cloak. Right? Well, maybe that's why God didn't call you to do it, okay? But Ahijah took a hold of a new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces for yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I am going to tear the kingdom out from Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. I will do this because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Molech, the god of the Ammonites, and have not walked in obedience to me, nor done what is right in my eyes, nor kept my decrees and laws as David, Solomon's father, did. Right? So God explains, look, they have forsaken me, and so because of that, All these tribes I'm taking away from Solomon and I'm going to give to you because they forsook me, but I'm going to keep the tribe of Judah and I'm going to keep that under Solomon because of my promise to David, right? Because of David and because I remember David's obedience to me and that he had a heart after me, Solomon will keep that one tribe. But then he says in verse 37, however, as for you, I will take you and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You will be king over Israel. If you do whatever I command you and walk in obedience to me and do what is right in my eyes, by obeying my decrees and commands as my servant David did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David and will give Israel to you. I will humble David's descendants because of this, but not forever. Now, listen to this prophetic word that was given to Jeroboam. If you obey me, if you keep my commands, if you follow me, I'm going to build a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. That is an amazing word. Think of how large that calling that God had for Jeroboam was. Let me tell you, if Jeroboam had chosen to obey and follow God, the way history would have panned out across the generations, it would have looked very different. But we know in the story, Jeroboam very quickly turned away from the Lord. Now, as we continue through the story, what happens is that Solomon gets wind of the things that are going on and he tries to kill Jeroboam. Okay, this dude's a threat to my kingdom. So Jeroboam flees to Egypt and he hides away for a time and he stayed there until after Solomon died. And what happens is that Solomon's son was made king, but the Lord hardened his heart. And so what happened is that the taxes that he put on the people, well, he made harsher taxes. The forced labor he had on the people, well, he made it even harsher and stricter. And when the people came and they complained about it, he said, well, you know what? Just because you complain, I'm going to make it even worse. I'm going to make it even harder. Okay? And so the people said, what do we care about David, right? David's not around anymore. Solomon's not around anymore. Why do we need to serve their son who's being cruel to us? So we're going to leave. And what happened was that all the tribes left and they're like, we don't have any share in the house of David anymore, except for the tribe of Judah, exactly as the prophet had prophesied it. And now what happens is that after Solomon had died, Jeroboam, he's like, okay, well, maybe it's safe for me to come back because Solomon's not alive anymore, so he can't kill me. Okay. So it says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 20, when all the Israelites heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. Only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the house of David. Now look at that. Jeroboam didn't have to go out campaigning, hey, make me your king, right? He didn't have to try and curry favor with people or win people over. Literally, he returned. He just showed up. And people made him king. This is something that we have to remember with the calling of God, which is that you don't got to establish yourself. You don't need to go out there and prove your reputation or this or that. God is the one who will establish you. So many Christians, they claw and work and try and do all these things to make themselves established. Oh, well, when will I be recognized for my ministry? As a prophet or as an apostle or whatever. They'll try and go and establish themselves. Oh, well, they don't recognize me as a prophet. They don't, you know, and they'll try and get all these certifications and credentials. Well, I was trained up in this ministry. I was trained up in that. Something I want to remind you guys is that the prophets in the Old Testament, they didn't have the kinds of credentials we had now. Okay? When God called Jeremiah, he was just a teenager. And God said, I appoint you and anoint you as a prophet to the nations. And that was it. There was no ceremony. There was no ordination. He didn't have a certificate. He didn't go to any seminary. It was literally God said, I have called you and anointed you as a prophet. These things, you're going to deliver this message to the people and you're going to say it exactly as I tell you to say it. And that's it. He was a prophet. When Elisha replaced Elijah, what happened? Elijah said, if you see me taken up into heaven, then you will inherit a double portion of my anointing. And what happened? Well, Elijah made sure that He was always present, right? When Elijah wanted to go to some town, he was there. When Elijah wanted to go to this particular store, go eat somewhere, Elisha was there because he was thinking, I'm not going to miss Elijah being taken up. I know I need to be present. And what happens? Elijah is taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire, and God's anointing rests on Elisha. And there, he's a prophet. And why did the other prophets recognize him as a prophet of the Lord? Because signs and wonders followed him. Okay? So we don't need to try and make a reputation for ourselves. We don't need to try and build ourselves up. Oh, well, these people don't recognize me. Or when are they going to understand my calling? When are you going to obey the Lord so that signs and wonders follow you wherever you go? Right? You could talk a big talk. You can talk about all these big plans you have. But until signs and wonders are following you, why should people recognize you? Jesus told us, you will know them by their fruits. So start obeying the Lord and start producing good fruits for the kingdom. And don't get caught up in all kinds of titles and all these kinds of things. They don't matter. So here in this story, Jeroboam didn't have to try and convince people to make him king. He didn't have to go out campaigning or anything like that. He showed up and the Israelites were like, hey, Jeroboam, you should be our king. Let's do that. Because God had already worked in their hearts. Okay? God will make the way for you to step into your calling. You don't need to make it happen. You only need to obey God. But unfortunately, Jeroboam did not keep obeying the Lord because he was suspicious. Maybe he was feeling insecure in his position, but he started doing things to try and protect his throne. You see, what was happening at the time is, remember, David wanted to build this temple for the Lord. Okay, but the Lord said, no, you will not build it because you have blood on your hands. And then he said, and so what happened was that that calling passed on to his son, Solomon. And it was a very long and expensive project, but it was this huge and extravagant temple, and Solomon was able to complete the construction of it. So what would happen? All the tribes of Israel, they would go down to Jerusalem and they would worship God there and they would offer sacrifices there. When the tribes left Judah and they said, you know what? The house of David's not going to be king over us anymore, right? You're not our king anymore. And they went and they decided, you know what? We're not going to be under you. We're going to make Jeroboam our king. Well, the temple that Solomon had built was still down there in Jerusalem. So the people were still going down there to offer sacrifices because it was a holy place and they wanted to honor the Lord, okay? And the Lord's Spirit was dwelling there. And let me tell you, when the Lord's Spirit is dwelling somewhere, the people want to be there, okay? So they were still traveling down to Jerusalem, even though they said, we don't swear allegiance to the house of David anymore. But Jeroboam didn't like this. He didn't like the fact that they were still going down to Jerusalem. So it says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26, Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David if these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. They will again give their allegiance to their Lord, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to Rehoboam. Right? If they keep going down there, they're not going to keep me as their king anymore. They're going to go back to the house of David. But if Jeroboam had just focused on the instructions of the Lord. God said, if you obey me, if you keep my commands, I will build for you a dynasty as enduring as the one that I built for David. That's what God said. Okay, so if he had just focused on that, he wouldn't start getting worried about these things. He wouldn't feel self-conscious about it. Okay, so in verse 28, it says, after seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, it's too much for you to go down to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. He set one up in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people came to worship the one at Bethel and went as far as Dan to worship the other. Look at what Jeroboam did here. He offered the people convenience. Oh, it's too much for you to go down to Jerusalem. That's too far. Look, just stay here. We've got these golden calves that you can worship. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. So there's two forms of sin that arose out of this. One, Jeroboam wanted to maintain control. He wanted to make sure that people didn't leave his sphere of influence. So he set up false gods that people would worship those instead. When the Lord has called you to leadership, remember who put you there. It's God who raised you up. You don't need to concern yourselves with your reputation, with trying to maintain influence and control. Focus on obeying the Lord. Because even in the church, there are many ministers that will try to protect what they view as their kingdom. Okay? They want to box people. Oh, you're not allowed to go to that ministry unless I bless you. Right? Oh, they're stealing the sheep. They're not your sheep. Okay? So this kind of insecurity and control leads to sin. We're all the body of Christ, guys. We're all one body, and we're all serving the Lord. We're all on the same team. And if Jeroboam had just listened to what God said, if you obey my commands, it's going to be an everlasting dynasty. Who cares if some people, when they go down to Jerusalem, maybe they'll want to stay there. It doesn't matter because God said you're going to have an everlasting dynasty. But then the people accepted it. And why did they accept it? Because of convenience. It's too much for you to go down there. Oh, it's just such an inconvenience. You got to travel all the way to Jerusalem. Just stay here in Bethel. Worship this golden calf. Or those of you that are in Dan, go worship the calf there. Why should you have to go all the way down there? And think of how many Christians get led into sin because they don't want to be inconvenienced. Oh, it's too much work. Okay, and let me tell you, if you can be tempted by these forms of convenience, where, oh man, it's just such a hassle to do this. Understand the calling of the Lord does not come at our convenience. We have to be discerning, brothers and sisters. Abraham had to literally leave everything. He had to leave his entire family and all of his friends behind to come and obey the Lord. And back then, they didn't have, you know, FaceTime or Zoom or even cell phones or email, okay? When Abraham left, he likely was never going to see them again. The calling of the Lord does not come at our convenience, but the people accepted it. And let me tell you, it is a problem here in America because we love our convenience, right? And there's nothing wrong with making things or enjoying things that are convenient. But when we forsake the things of God for the sake of our convenience, that's when there's a problem. But he was able to convince all the other tribes to forsake the Lord for the sake of convenience. And now I want you to think about the ripple effects of how this affected people across the generations. You see, the Samaritans were among those people that lived in Samaria, Israel at the time. The Samaritans were the Jewish people that remained in those other tribes, not part of Judah. Because later on it became known as Samaria, Israel, Samaria. They became kind of synonymous, okay? And what happened was, the Jews that lived under Jeroboam, they started mixing, okay, all kinds of idol worship and stuff with their Jewish customs, okay? And this is evident when Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. It says in John chapter 4, verse 19, she says, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that we must worship in Jerusalem." You see, she was still believing and thinking about these things that go all the way back to Jeroboam, because Jeroboam said, hey, you don't need to worship all the way in Jerusalem. You can just stay here. And so here, the Samaritan woman is asking Jesus the same thing. So many generations were led astray because of the sin that Jeroboam committed. But think about if he had obeyed God, if he had really trusted and obeyed the Lord in everything. Well, we would have seen a kingdom that would have remained righteous before the Lord. Maybe Israel wouldn't have been brought into captivity under Babylon. Maybe there would be all kinds of different events that would have happened out of Jeroboam's obedience, but we'll never know. History now has been written in stone with the sin of Jeroboam rather than his obedience, and how that sin has rippled across the generations. So now in your own life, I challenge you, there is a version of you that obeys God completely, that changes the world, or there is a version of you that doesn't obey the Lord, and maybe you fall to the wayside, or even worse, maybe your sin also ripples across the generations. So choose this day to serve the Lord. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso. and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.